Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we surrender the center space and we beg you come and occupy it. We thank you for changing us so that our leadership and mission might be worth following. Amen. Please be seated. We don't often realize it, but little kids are hard at work cracking the toughest of philosophical nuts. We don't really understand how hard that is because it's just been so long since we ourselves have been confronted by these incredibly difficult philosophical problems that are fundamental to being able to live in the world. So, for instance, as a child, I thought that there was one single American flag, and that it was like 20 feet by 10 feet and flew over a Toyota dealership off of Interstate 10. And it took me a really long time to grasp that the American flag is not the name of any particular flag, but rather the name of an abstract symbol that doesn't exist, that serves as a single referent for millions of particular flags that do exist. That's pretty complicated, if you think about it. I also remember tons of adults asking me a question that always gets cute answers from little kids. What do you want to be when you grow up? Now that too is a pretty complicated question when you really think about it. Because what people mean when they ask that question is how will you trade your labor for currency, good health insurance, and a tax shelter annuity? But what the question actually asks is much loftier. Right? It's about identity. What do you want to be when you grow up? So I grasped the loftiness of the question as a child, but not the more pedestrian intention behind it. So I always answered with an earnest, aspirational vigor, characteristic of humans who have only lived for a hot second of geological time. And whenever I was asked, what do you want to be when you grow up, I would answer, Superman. I wanted to be Superman when I grew up. I mean the whole package. The red cape and the invulnerability and the flying and the superhearing and the heat vision and the kittens and trees, the asteroid lifting, Lois Lane saving, whole package. I wanted it all when I grew up. What I have learned in the 30-some-odd years since I wanted to be Superman when I grew up is that I am a squishy being beset by limits. I have hardwired incompetencies, set in stone blind spots. My life is a plague of unsolvable mystifications. My life is a graveyard of incomplete tasks that are beyond me. I have learned that maturity is knowing what you actually can do in the midst of all of the many more things that you can't. In today's text from Ephesians, the writer, either Paul or one of his close followers, is pressing that same childish question upon his readers. What will you be when you grow up? Only the writer of Ephesians intends no double entendre. There's no pedestrian doublespeak at work. With all of the aspirational sincerity of a true believer, he describes for us what we should be when we grow up. And that is a particular, unique copy of Jesus Christ. Not an identical copy, which would be impossible, but a fully fleshed out, totally singular interpretation of Jesus' life and his character, the writer of Ephesians wants us to grow up into the full stature of Christ in our own unprecedented way. And the writer of Ephesians understands that we can assume the full stature of Christ only after a long process of maturing and faith and wisdom. To assume the full stature of Christ, we are obliged to determine what it is that we can do for God's kingdom in the midst of the many more things that we cannot do. Not everyone is formed to be an apostle. Not everyone is formed to be a prophet or a teacher or an evangelist or a pastor. And where we fit into the body of Christ is largely predetermined by our capacities. Our calling is not entirely ours to choose. During our lifetime in the church, we will find ourselves beset by limits, hardwired incompetencies, set in stone blind spots. So let me say something to you that is hard for modern American ears to hear. It is not true that you can do anything you set your mind to. And it is not true that you can be anything that you want to be. There is a subset of things you can be easily, a subset of things that you can be with great effort, and a subset of things that you will never be able to be, no matter how hard you try or how much you want it. The writer of Ephesians challenges us to look at the church, this family of Jesus that we have all been baptized into, and discern what we can be. And then he challenges us to be those things with humility and with gentleness and with patience and a kind sort of aspirational vigor. And that process of discernment, of separating what we can be from what we can't, is how we become mature Christians and mature humans. Now, the writer of Ephesians also warns us not to be blown about by every wind of doctrine, by craftiness and deceit, which seems like a timely warning because increasingly our world is buffeted about by the sour winds of ugly doctrine and burdened by an abundance of craftiness and deceit. Meanwhile, we have become an uncountable surfeit of desperately immature people with no concept of our own limited capacities or perspectives. And as a result, we take incompetency for competence, we take a blind spot for clear sight, and we strut about the world, declaring others to be blind and incompetent while sparing not one single self-reflective thought about ourselves. Our global community needs mature Christians and mature humans. People whose gaze is fixed on the visage of the crucified Christ and who are determined to embody Jesus' sacrificial love in ways that are appropriate for their gifts and their skills. Humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another in love. Those are the characteristics of mature Christians who have taken a long look in the mirror and have accepted how little they know how little they can do, and how little they truly see. And those are also the characteristics of mature Christians who have taken a long look in the mirror and determined what they do know, and what they can do, and what they do see. Humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another in love. These are the things that will save the world, because these are the things that already did save the world in the cross of Jesus Christ. So my friends, the only question left for us to answer with our lives is, what will we be